Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for clicking through Amazon and bookmarking us and giving us a nice rating on iTunes and all the good things you do for us that enable us to come in here, turn the lights on, fire up the mics, and do this thing. How you doing, Drewski?
You know, I'm not bad, but I had a very distinct reaction when I sat down just now.
Which was,
uh-oh.
But you think that every time you sit down.
No. Listen. And the uh-oh is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you, I am super busy right now. And then I looked up at your board and I went, uh-oh, he's super busy too. And then I thought, now wait a minute. He was here at 8:27 this morning and like going with an engine going away. I thought, oh, fuck, man, you got to be super busy. And then I sat down and you made me change chairs.
Well,
and I thought, uh-oh.
Oh, please. I didn't make you. We have these stools and they're on rollers.
Yeah.
And Drew opted for the outside one and then slid in, which left a open buffer stool for Elijah.
With some wine.
Yes, in between us.
Wonder what that was doing there.
So I was trying to figure out a way to slide the seat around you or slide it around me, and then I thought, wait, I can rectify this. Drew, stand up,
chairs.
Slide one out, and slide into the one that's in between
us. But it's a tell. And I'm not objecting to it.
Tell.
It's a tell. So let me ask you, are you busy? Are you intense? Is it
well,
kind of a mess right now?
I got up early this morning, which I don't normally do. And I have a sleep range that can go from Saturday all day to up for no reason middle of the week at 6:15 and ready to rock.
Yeah,
at least can't go back to bed.
Yeah.
I am wired, and ultimately, it's a good thing. I wish other people had this wiring, which is this. When there's something to be done, it's on my radar, and thus my sleep the night before, not fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's weird, and I wish I wasn't wired this way.
Mm.
You know, my wife is wired like, Mark Garagos and his wife are coming over at 2:30. So anyway, it's 1:45. I'm going to go take a shower. And then I have to explain to her, they're coming at 2. They're coming at 2. They're coming in 14 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, well, I'll be in the shower. And it's like, I'm pacing by the front door looking through the window. You know what I mean? Like,
you also get the accusation of, hey, man, you're making me nervous, man. You're fucking me up. You're upsetting me.
Well, I do get. No, here's what I get. I do the. You see my schedule.
Well, that's what I was reacting to.
New York, Washington, Chicago, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland.
What happened
there? Well, I'll tell you in a second. You see my schedule. What I'm saying
is. Yeah, I reacted to it.
What I'm saying to you is when I get the, hey, man, relax.
But it's always that you're upsetting, you're impinging on them.
No.
Right? You don't get that? I get that.
No,
one.
I don't. Lynette doesn't get the you're impinging on me. She's just like, hey man, you're a busy guy. You need to take a chill pill. And my thing is I can't take a chill pill because you're in the shower and Mark Garagos is coming in 10 minutes and I'm pacing around the front door. I'd like to take a chill pill. I would like to take a chill pill, but I'm not that confident that I'd like to go take I'll get in the other shower, but I'm worried that someone's going to be ringing the buzzer and no one will be there to answer
it. I'm upset hearing the story.
That's
hearing what you're dealing with.
Now,
I'm anxious.
It always works out. It always works out, but it's always me
spinning.
Right. Like I just said, here's my new decree. And I said it last Saturday. In 2015, can we leave the house before said reservation?
Yeah.
So if the reservation at the sushi joint is 7, can we be wheels up and in the car before 7? It's always 7:03.
This is the new policy for 15.
I would like that.
Yeah.
And I would like to not be the one who's buzzing around all the time going, we got the thing for 7 and it's 8 minutes to 7 and everyone's in their pajamas. So can we get it going here? Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And the answer to I don't want to be that guy is, well, then don't. But that the problem is I don't think that gets us out of the house before 7.
Then you're that guy.
That's the problem. So now I'm going back to being that guy. So the answer to don't be that guy is, fine, don't be that girl. I won't be that guy. But
it's a dance.
I have a wiring, and I think you have a wiring, which is if there's something on the plate, something on the burner, there's some pacing.
Yeah.
And I don't see, to me...
It's
now,
funny for you.
The wiring.
Hang on.
Yes.
I just thought of something interesting. Mm. All that, for me, pertains to parenting, too. And that doesn't seem to kind of bleed over to parenting for you quite so much.
What do you mean?
I got the, what's going on? What are you, grades? What are you, this? What are you studying? What are
your parents.
Me as a parent. I got that same spinniness I have to kind of contain. And I don't think you have that yet, anyway, upon your kids.
Well, it's a couple things. I don't care.
Well, that maybe have something to do with it.
That's number one. They're fine. They're way ahead of the curve and ahead of the game. They're going to mathnasium. They're fine. They read and write better than I do in the third grade. They're both super bright kids. They're both good-looking kids. They're smart. I mean,
yeah,
they're well-mannered. They're fine.
But now you sound like your parents.
No. My parents did not think that way. They didn't give a shit.
Well, you're sort of saying you don't care.
I don't care because I don't need to care. See? Well... I don't care because Lynette is a great mom.
Yeah.
And I have a nanny who's great, and they go to a great school, and they have very reliable, safe forms of transportation, and they're great kids, and they just got signed up for mathnasium for a year, and they love it, by the way.
Yeah.
And I have a wife that does homework with them on a nightly basis, and a nanny that does homework with them, and their extracurricular activities are up the wazoo, and the,
And let me get this out of the way. And they have stamps.com. Stamps.com. Let's just
thank
get
you.
That out of the way.
Thank you.
Discounts you can't get at the post office. Never pay full price again. Buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk for any letter or package or any class of mail. Trips to the post office, no more. Use stamps.com. Get this special offer when you use our promo code ADS for Adam and Drew Show, ADS. It's a no-risk trial, $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale that you plug right into your computer.
Mm.
Weigh any package, any letter, get the precise postage you need for that particular package or letter, and then up to $55 for free postage, which is insane. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Or anything else we give people $55 when that's part of our advertisement?
I have no idea.
No. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS, that is stamps.com, promo code ENTER. ADS.
I was going to tell you, Natalia's best friend is an Asian kid whose dad's an engineer and mom is, over the top, out of this world. You know,
in
I
what?
Mean,
yeah.
I don't have to worry about them. They're taken care of. I mean, all I have to do is impart a little wisdom and have some fun with them.
Let me can I take that? And or do you want to finish your thought? Because
well,
I have an interesting thing to say.
Here's what I'm interested in, and I was thinking about it when I couldn't sleep this morning, which is this. I don't have, on the current schedule that I'm on, now when Catch a Contractor fires up, all those things are going to change. But the current schedule that I'm on, I don't have a lot of early mornings. Mm. The one early morning a week I have is right now with Dr. Drew, because his schedule changed, which is fine. But I go to bed, and that's the last thought that's in my head before my head hits the pillow. I got to go. I got to be there.
Yeah.
I got to get up. I
got
to get it together in the morning. I got to get the fuck out of the house. There's going to be a little extra traffic because I'm not normally traveling during those traffic times. So it's up in my head.
Yep.
And I go to bed, and oftentimes, like I did this morning, would just wake up at 6:15 because it's in my head. It's in my head. And when I occasionally get coached up by Lynette, like she said, and I think I said to her, I don't know what I was saying. I don't know, one of my many, you know, hey, when the wet towels are wet, you know, spread them out so they dry so they don't get mildewy or something. Some piece of ancient wisdom I was passing along. And she said, your shoes are all over the place and I trip on them. And I was kind of like, all right. You know, okay. Like I thought, it felt like a comeback more than a serious problem. But it was like, all right, I grant you that. I kick my shoe when I come into the bedroom. I just kind of kick my shoes off when I'm done skipping my rope.
Yeah.
I kick my shoes off.
Room for improvement.
Room for improvement.
Yeah.
And she said, your shoes are all over the place.
Yeah.
I trip on them.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, well, you're probably not falling. I've never heard you hit the ground. Your wrist isn't in a splint.
I grant you that. Okay.
I grant you that.
All
it's
right.
not a great thing to have my shoes all over the place. And I said, all right. It was a little tit for tat kind of thing. And I said, all right. And about a week later, I think she said, look at this. And my shoes were just right in the middle of the room again. And I said, okay, you're right. And I found myself, and I found myself this morning, looking around. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, those things are out. You know, they're against the wall, but not really against the wall. I'm going to kick them in against the wall, get them out of the way. I don't put them up on a shelf because I'm just going to put them on the next day or skip my rope the next night. But I just sort of get them out of the way.
Okay.
Get them out of the travel lanes.
All right.
And it's something it's on me now.
Now it's in you. Yeah, yeah.
It's in me. And now I'm kind of scanning around.
Okay.
And it's on my radar.
What's your point?
My point is I have conversations with people about stuff reams of times, and it never makes it onto their.
Well, let's see how long this lasts.
It never.
Let's see if you can make it a permanent thing.
No, it's not. It's not. Let's see if we can make it a permanent thing. It's a way of life.
It's in now. It's in.
I've been told.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah. It took you a couple go-rounds. All right. Took you a couple.
Well, the first go round was in the context of a
tit for tat thing.
Yeah. Hey, why are you doing this?
Yeah,
well,
okay.
Why are you doing that? So
all
it didn't really take. It went down in my head as, all right, you're just firing back with something.
Okay.
You know
right.
what I mean? The second time
so
was.
So why can't people be like you? It's the usual. The usual
like
complaint,
me.
Adam.
It's your
usual complaint.
But no, be like a human being. It has been said. It has been processed. It has been understood and digested.
Mm.
Moving on.
Mm.
I get it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's fine for me too. I don't need my shoes in the middle of the room. It's not something that benefits me.
Right.
Right. So I heard you.
I
understand.
I get you.
And it's been processed and downloaded.
The same thing that has the energy and the getting up in the morning and all that stuff. Not everybody has that. Same thing that keeps your wife showering at 1:45 when the top of the hour is the go time is the same thing that has
understood.
Spinning at night and moving your shoes out of the way permanently now.
Yeah.
Right. But hang on.
Yeah.
What the fuck is with the schedule?
The schedule is I, sadly, have a movie called Road Hard.
Ah.
And that movie's an independent film.
Tonight's the party, right?
Yeah. Well, depending on when you're listening to the show. But yeah, that is. Tonight's the party, right. And Drew's going to be there, right?
I'm doing my damnedest.
Yeah. You got to go to work, of course, afterward. But I think
it'll, And before.
But
is it here? It's here, right?
I think it'll work out.
Yeah, I'm planning to be here. It's here, right?
No.
Oh, it's at your house? Where the fuck is? I don't even know.
It's at the Improv. Melrose Improv.
Oh, that's good. That works for me nicely.
You can get to where you need to go, which is Loveline,
in about 12
and a half minutes, I think, from
and it's another 12 from HLN, so it's perfect for me.
Yeah, you're right in there.
Yeah.
All right, so good.
Jesus, good thing I asked what showed up here.
Yeah, good for us.
Oh, my God.
Now, what's that movie's coming out, and what happened was is Catch Contractor. I got to start Catch Contractor again.
Yeah.
And so they have a start time, and that thing had to get bumped up right against the beginning of Catch a Contractor.
Ugh.
So, and also because it was crowdfunded, I have to go to all these places and do, you know, personal appearance
payback.
And meet and greet. And yeah, a lot of payback.
Is that these appearances? And I'm looking at these different clubs you're going to be at and live podcasts and stuff. Fuck, went in my mouth here off this mic. Jesus. And is that all you traveling to those cities to do some meet and greets, and then you do an appearance as part of that, or is that appearance the meet and greet? You know what I'm asking?
Yeah, we're gonna show the movie. We're gonna show it sometimes multiple times. Sometimes we're gonna do a live podcast and show the movie
At these clubs, or as a separate thing from these club appearances?
Clubs, theaters.
Okay, so I'm just curious, and please don't think when I see Caroline's on March 5th. Mm-hmm. Is that a podcast? Is that a movie thing? Is that a stand?
That's both. That's what
both.
I'm saying.
Okay, got it. Got
That's
it.
What I'm saying.
I'm just getting some clarity.
With Alec Baldwin.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
How the fuck?
That's one of the few celebrity friends I have. So he's out there and says he's going to do it. So we'll look forward to that. Yeah.
And you are going around, dude. I'm going to look at San Francisco and all in that first week of March, second week of March.
Well, I have to start Catch a Contractor
right after that.
Yeah, that's where it kicks in. So, and you know, it's one of these things where the movie turned out really good, and we want to give it a best shot at success.
Okay, so here's what's interesting to me. Normally when I see you with that kind of schedule, there is misery attached to it. However, it seems that today you have sort of a positive attitude because of the film.
Well, I will tell you the difference in my attitude. First off, I'm not even thinking about it at this point. It's a few weeks off.
Aren't you looking at that going?
No, the reason I'm not doing the and I normally am is for the following reason. When you make a film like this, the only payment you really ever get, at least in my humble experiences, sitting in a theater and enjoying it with the fans. That's really the only that's your payment.
You're saying exactly what I was saying, which is that the film has changed your attitude about all this.
Well, you're looking forward to it because of that. Well, no, I'll put a finer point on it. I've not made a penny from this film. I didn't make a penny from my last film.
Yeah.
And like I said, the pennies are enjoying it with the fans.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, normally, Portland, Seattle run for me means I go to Seattle. I go to here's Portland and Seattle on a Friday. Leave Burbank and fly to Portland and arrive at 4 p.m. and then go to the Liquor Hut and sign bottles of Mangria for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then go to the theater, do a 90-minute show. Meet and greet afterward, another 90-minute show, meet and greet afterward, and then into the van and drive to Seattle the following day to do the exact same thing, and then meet you in the lobby at 6 a.m. because we're flying out Sunday morning.
Yeah.
When I see that, when I'm staring down the barrel of that, that's work.
I know.
I mean, that's, you know.
I just did that kind of thing outside of Cincinnati a couple days ago.
It's, you know.
It's hard work.
You know, Drew, it's an interesting thing to kind of wrap our minds around, but dig, if you would.
Dig.
Okay. when I'm looking at you and I going out on stage, I think to myself, oh, good. I can relax. This is fine. And when I think of me and Dennis Prager going out on stage, I think to myself, okay, I can relax.
Piece of cake, yeah.
And when I think about going out, hey, we're going to show Road Hard, and I'm going to say a couple of words at the top and do maybe a Q&A or something at the end or meet and greet, whatever. I think,
yeah,
done. When I think comedy, specifically comedy.
Like a stand-up thing.
A stand-up or podcast.
Okay.
I think I have to work for 90 minutes. I can't sit down. I can't.
Let's not even say podcast, because in podcasts, you at least can react to some of the people you've created around you. When you're up there by yourself,
no.
You've got to come out of you exclusively.
No.
Well, I know pod does too. I know.
No. Look, you've sold out a theater
in
Seattle, the Neptune Theater, 750 seats.
Yeah.
Those people paid good money.
I get it.
I'm up there oftentimes, when you're going, when you go to New York, you can get Artie Lang and Alec Baldwin, and then you can get up there and relax a little bit.
Yeah, I get it.
No, you're not getting it.
No, I do get it.
Just listen to me, would you? When I go out and do these fucking podcasts, I feel... I'm not up there alone, but Brian is not a professional comedian, and neither is Gina, and sometimes they're not there, and oftentimes when we go to Portland, we don't get an A-list there, so and we're doing two shows.
Yep.
So I must stand there and sweat through my undershirt, because I don't want anyone who bought a ticket to go, I came out, and the guy just kind of pulled up a stool and took a chill pill.
Yeah.
And obviously stand-up is the same thing,
yeah,
and even more so. But there's not that big a chasm.
No, I get it.
Between the two. Well, now you get it.
No. You only had to say it. I get it. Because listen, right. I I've stood up there with you. I know what you do, and I've stood up there by myself, and I know the distance between what I do and what you do. Even when I'm dancing, even when I'm really generating something.
The problem really is the threat of comedy. That's the problem.
The threat.
When I do someone else's show, and it's fairly rare, but I'll do someone else's podcast, usually whenever they ask.
Mm.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I just sit here and go, you ask. You spin the plates.
Yeah.
You be funny. You talk to me. I'll give you answers. I'll try to make them funny, but I'll wait till you ask. When I take the mic, then it's on me. Then I got to deliver. And that's – I do enjoy it. And I do feel good about it, but I also feel an intense sense of responsibility.
I get it.
And
I,
so
I feel the same thing.
When I'm looking at the schedule, I think, two shows, and a lot of sweating. And I don't want to go home and read on Twitter, Adam seemed like he kind of mailed it in, or he didn't bring his A game, or whatever
it was. I have a weird thing that I deal with when I go out and speak, and I have to... people obviously want something very different from me than they want from you, but I'm acutely aware that people need to be entertained by a speaker.
Yes.
And I see you're sort of the mark I try to measure up to, and I feel the distance all the time when I'm up there talking. And my stuff is kind of boring and can get really tedious if I'm not careful.
Yeah.
Right now? Is that
happening? No. I know. I envy you. I envy you.
Why?
Because you don't have...
No, I do have to. That's the point.
Not you don't.
Listen,
when I do a spot on Kimmel's show, or I do a spot in the past on The Tonight Show, whatever it was, I have to prepare 9 minutes of fresh sit-down stand-up.
Yeah.
And if I'm nobody, I'm not a fucking film star, I'm not a doctor... I'm not fucking anybody but somebody who opens his mouth and jokes come out or comedy comes out.
Right.
I'm not anybody.
Isn't that funny, though, that we
not,
all
– hang fucking,
on.
Hold on. If you're Ryan Gosling, you get to go sit there and be Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
Now, if you tell a funny story, awesome, and we look forward to that.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks feels compelled to tell a funny story.
Right.
But Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets to be Tom Hanks. He's got a movie coming out.
But see, I feel the same heat, except, you know, why the fuck do you want to hear from me except what I can do for them and deliver information for them?
So
I have the same thing. It's not funny, but I also have to, and I have to entertain too, because that's the nature of the beast.
No, I understand.
You're not alone in this anxiety.
No, I am. Look.
It's just different for you.
Here's the whole deal. If and I understand you got a little of that, but here's what I'm saying. If in the whole deal was we're going to bring Adam out and Adam's going to give some home improvement tips and tell a couple funny stories about his days as a carpenter and answer a few questions about general carpentry, I'd go fucking fine.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about this.
Right.
I don't care. This is my field of expertise. Yeah, I'll cobble together a funny story about carpentry.
Right.
And they can ask me a question. Right? But I would not go out there with the same sense of anything. If I walked out on stage and said, look, does anyone have any carpentry questions? Anybody out there? Anything about carpentry? I'd just go, fuck it. Yeah, I don't give a shit.
But then you also have to entertain. That's the challenge. That's the challenge.
The expectation
is different. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you. Listen.
Look, when Norm MacDonald goes on Jimmy's show and when Dr. Phil goes on Jimmy's show or Dr. Laura or whoever else, or I'll give you even better, professional athlete.
Yeah.
You just got Tom Brady from the New England Patriots versus Norm MacDonald or Adam Kroll.
Right.
Well, Tom Brady has his scott. Be charming.
Yeah,
he's Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, you're Dr. Drew.
I totally agree with you. I just think it's interesting for people that might be listening. It's a weird kind of pulling back the curtain that I imagine most people aren't aware of. This is kind of you deal with, I deal with, and it's kind of weird.
I don't deal with it.
All right, I don't deal with it. You deal with it. I got none of it.
You put a certain amount of pressure on yourself to go out there and whatever.
Yeah.
But it is not to the degree that
I had something else.
That
yes,
Norm, forget about, pull me out,
yeah.
Artie Lang, Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
When Artie Lang and Norm MacDonald go up there, they have to go over a set list. I mean, bits.
Yeah.
And they have to roll those bits and work those bits. And I mean, they really have to work those bits. When Felicia Rashad goes out there, she doesn't have to do anything other than just...
That is an attack.
Well, she just has to be Felicia Rashad.
I get it.
And if she tells a funny story, God bless her. You know what she'll get? Bonus points. She gets to start at a certain level, and then someone will go, did you see Felicia Rashad? She was really funny.
Bonus points. Simply safe.
Smarter home security. You need it, man. No aggressive sales guys. The system shall not be hardwired, which I like. It's all battery operated. I was saying to these guys, how's this work? You go online, you make customize your system, how many windows, how many doors, or whatever you got, motion sensors, whatever it is.
When we talk to callers now, we're going to hear the Simply Safe battery alarms going off as opposed to the smoke alarms.
I like it. They got the batteries. They last 5 years, man.
See, this is because of the battery technology. You can do this now.
Yeah. Yes. Before you'd have a Sears Diehard and some jumper cables on the floor. Now you got these little, hearing aid batteries in there. And the thing that's cool, too, is the keypad is battery operated. So normally it's like, where are you going to put the keypad with the home run and drill a hole and drag the wire through thing and crawl under the house with it? It's like, and they're
painful.
Not only that, these guys come in and they make a mess.
Yeah.
They start drilling everywhere.
Wouldn't do it.
No. Simply Safe. That's what you want to do. So go to simplysafeman.com. 10% off. That's simplysafeman.com. And by the way, you get round the clock protection, just $15 and no contracts. All right. Do we have a.
Calls? Take Christian. Mountain Valley.
Throw the line.
Three.
Fucking...
Sorry. Jesus Christ.
All right. Christian.
Hello?
Fountain Valley, what's up?
Hey, so I'm a huge fan. I've been listening since day one.
Thank you.
I've actually learned a ton from you guys, especially Adam. I read the books. I apply everything I can to life, and I kind of want to call and get some advice.
All right.
So, this is scary.
Winner!
But I just turned 30, and I've kind of been a victim of my own success my whole life. I've actually... succeeded at everything. I own a house, beautiful wife, I have a kid. I've done really well for myself. My wife stays home, 5 years BMW, two cars. But now I listen to these podcasts with like Terry Crews, and I'm wondering, am I maybe kind of too content with what I have already? Jesus. And like I hear you talk about how the biggest joke anybody could have ever played would have been when you were like 30 to hand you like $60,000 business, and then you would have never done anything with the pirate ship.
What?
So,
what?
Yeah, I don't think so. Hold on a second. You guys can summon up a Terry Crews clip if you can find one somewhere. Don't play it yet.
Were you use that analogy or something? Is that
No. What I said is I think the biggest joke that could have been the greatest disservice you could have played on me, Adam Carolla, and of course to millions I've entertained over the years. Let's not forget the little people, Drew.
That's the disservice.
I've rocked them all. No, the greatest disservice you could have played on me is if my dad had a semi-successful unfinished furniture business
and gave you
and at age 30 said, you know, we're bringing you along. I want you to manage the Orange County store and soon take over the business. I'm going to groom you to take over the business. And we're going to start you at $60,000 a year, full medical and dental. You know, I would have fucking signed on the dotted line, and that's probably what I would have been doing right now.
Well, there's an interesting...
Or not. I'm not sure. There may have been that little sprout of comedy life that pushed through the concrete slab of life.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. You're a fucking dandelion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I am a dandy and a lion.
But it's an interesting. There's sort of two layers to the question. One is, would your passion have emerged anyway, and is that really what carries you, or is it putting your bet down on the hard eight? You understand the difference, right? Mm-hmm. He's asking, am I not putting a hard enough bet down somewhere? And you're saying, I had a passion, it probably would have shown through anyway, which are maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both.
I would say for him, does he have a passion that would make him happier? It's obviously a longer bet when you follow a passion always, but is there a passion there, Christian, that would make you happier, that you could bet on, that you'd be happy even if it didn't pay off financially?
It's a fine question. Christian?
I am actually amazed because I actually have written down on my thing to bring up the fact that I don't feel like I have a passion on anything.
Then you're exactly where you need to be. You're doing great.
I mean, like, I really value the time I get to spend with my family and my friends.
Of course.
And with this job, I'm able to do that.
Of course.
But I do feel like the second part where I'm like, am I maybe not putting enough of a bet down on myself somewhere else where I might be able to be more
successful? Let me share with you. No. I think you're overthinking this. Let me share with you one thing that may or may not help you. That I noticed all my friends that did what you're doing and succeeded financially at about age 40 look around and go, well, now what?
Mm-hmm.
And a little different now what than you're experiencing. You're a little ahead of the curve here. But the now what is, I really didn't contribute anything. I raised a good family and I love it, you know, but I didn't make a difference for other people. So start looking around for ways that you can really make a difference. You can really be of service. And sometimes it's very simple stuff. You know, it's just, I don't know, just look for those opportunities.
No, I agree. There's much more satisfaction than you'll ever really understand in helping other people.
Boy, that sounds like a platitude, but yes, it's true.
No, it's such a weird thing because it's so counterintuitive because we're so wired to go get some for us.
And you need to for your family and stuff. I understand that, and that's good, but you need to do this other piece.
There's nothing it's one of those things where it's like, it is so important. I mean, we here's what I guess what I'm saying is.
You know what's interesting? Let me finish my thought.
Quiet.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm saying is I hate doing push-ups, but I do push-ups. But I hate it, but I understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I have fucking done skip my rope. I'll do 50 push-ups. Every night it's like, I don't want to do them. All right, I'll do them. Oh, maybe I'll do 40. And I just do them. But I'm pissed about it. But I do it. I don't like it, but I understand it. this is one of those things that's like push-ups, except for if you thought push-ups gave you man tits and were bad for you.
Yeah, right.
This is like, you think about it and you go, what? I'm parting with my money to give to this person I'm never going to see again, or spending my weekend helping build this. Or
how could that not give me man tits?
Yeah, how could that not give? That's not going to feel good. Yet it's better than push-ups.
Yes.
But yet it feels... Intuitively, it's like, well, look, if I give you $5,000, then I'm out $5,000. So how's that going to be?
The happiness research shows super clearly that people are happier, measurably happier, and we can debate what that means, but measurably happier when they buy something for someone else as opposed to when they buy something for themselves.
All right.
There it is.
Here's Terry Crews, by the way, who's just one of those guys that just never stopped. His motor just never stopped. I was so blown away by him on Take a Knee. And we'll play a little clip.
Once I got cut from a team, I used to go back in the locker room and ask the guys if they wanted their portraits painted. Because that's how I survived.
I mean, they pay you.
And they paid me. I would get $5,000 a painting.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I would spend like a month working on this painting. And it was humbling because, you know, you played with these guys. And you go back in, but I'd show my portfolio. I'd show them what I did. And I'd say, hey, man, I'm waiting to get picked back up. You guys want – I remember Natron Memes was like, yeah, man, I'll pay you to do one. And Ronnie Harmon was like, yeah, sure. Ken Harvey from the Redskins. He was one of, basically my benefactor, man. I was the pictures of his kids.
Wow.
He did what he had
to
do.
He's a dandelion.
He went back. He got cut from the team, and he went painted portraits.
Wow.
Play the by the way, sorry, Gary, but it was the top one that I was looking for.
Answered by talking. They're answered by working. You see what I mean? Terry, they said, man, you got 3 shows on TV at the same time. I'm like, yeah, I do. This is awesome. You can too.
Right.
You can too. I'm not here to tell you that Terry Crews is super special. I'm not. I'm a dude from Flint, Michigan, man. I didn't go to Juilliard. I didn't do all that stuff. I'm not an actor per se, but I just said, man, why not? Let's try it. Let's do something. Let's fail a couple times and see what happens. I'm here to tell people, and this is one reason why I even hosted this fail show, because it's funny. People go, oh, you know, this is good. You're just doing one of these things and, you know, a clip show. But the funny thing is you got to destigmatize failure. Because no one wants to lose.
Right.
Everyone wants to look like a superstar.
Right.
But you got to lose sometime. There are times, man, before I could dress nice, I had to dress bummy. Mm. But you get the suit you got, deal with what you have, get a tailor. If he can do something to it, you make it happen, and you pin it up, do whatever you got to do, sew the holes. And you know what? And nobody's thinking about you that deep anyway.
You know, no, that's true.
Everybody think about their own bills. Yeah. So my job has always been to just show people. Let me tell you, I say this all the time, and I'm going to keep saying it. I exist to show you what's possible. That's it. Terry Crews exists to show you what's possible.
Man, that guy's, again, just a motor. I don't even, you know, and it's, again, but that's what I wish for my kids. That.
Yeah.
Just that. Mm. All the other stuff is a bunch of window dressing. I want that.
Well, but what about this Christian that called? He's kind of got a motor, and he's applied it in a very systematic way, and he's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't have to be, you know, over-the-top motor.
No,
and
no.
He'll find his way to something passionate, you know, some important something, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
For somebody.
No, I want them, when I say that, just give me Terry Crews' small toe and I'll put it up the rectum of both my kids. That's
okay.
All I need.
Okay,
just
I understand now.
One from the right, one from the left. Just a little Terry Crews suppository.
Yeah.
I don't need them to be full.
Toe suppository, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need them to be full-blown Terry Crews all the time.
Foot. You know, with the foot up their ass.
Not the whole foot.
Stop talking, Daddy.
Stop talking, Daddy. All right. I should start talking about LifeLock Ultimate, man. Love these guys. LifeLock Ultimate Plus. Identity theft. Well, you talk about the kids. My kids got it.
Between SimpliSafe and LifeLock, we're all good.
You're covered, man. You're the boy in the plastic bubble. You're John Travolta. It's LifeLock Ultimate Plus. It can protect you. And again, here's the deal. As far as your credit scores and the banks and all that, when they steal your identity and they screw up everything, Stuff gets screwed up in a heartbeat, and it takes years to unscrew it.
Right.
I had something on my record once that was like financial thing. It was just a mistake.
Yeah.
It was just a mistake.
Happens all the time.
And it was like 8 years later, I was buying a house, and I'm like, and I was like, that's 8 years old, and it was a mistake.
Yeah. Well,
I was like,
one more point on your loan percentage.
Well, yeah, because it takes two calories from somebody who doesn't give a crap to remove it, and it takes nothing to get it on. Yeah. So it's LifeLock Ultimate Plus. You need it, baby. Drew?
Visit LifeLock.com, enter promo code Adam, and you'll save 10% on your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. That is promo code Adam at LifeLock.com to get a special 10% discount. LifeLock.com network does not cover all transactions.
All right.
How about line five?
Line five. Let's talk to Gabe, 36. Gabe?
Oh, hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Oh, I love the show. I've been listening since 1997, and I really admire how brave you guys are to not be politically correct and speak the truth about, you know, working hard and how masculinity isn't the most evil thing in the world, you know, and just a lot of things you guys say, it makes a lot of sense to me. And I work home.
You guys
home,
or Adam?
I'll get to my question, but I work home.
Well, hold on a second.
Hey, wait 1 second, Gabe.
I just tell you what is.
You're normally right.
It's not what my experience is.
Right.
It's just what is.
You see things. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what happens is
I feel the same way.
My kids are going out in the backyard, and my wife is running after them with a water bottle, yelling "drink, drink, drink," and I'm saying to her, "When they get thirsty, they will drink."
Listen, I had this experience yesterday.
That's how it works. When they have to pee, by the way, they'll pee, and when they want to drink, when they're thirsty.
Yeah.
Now, when we were thirsty as a kid playing Pop Warner football,
don't drink.
We were told not to drink.
Take these salt pills.
If you let me drink, I would have drank because I was running around the San Fernando Valley in full pads.
Stop it.
But the point is all I know is if they're thirsty, they'll come in and get a drink.
Yeah.
And then people tweet me articles. People are overhydrating. Mm-hmm. The doctors say the greatest factor for knowing whether you need rehydration is thirst.
Yeah. There's this weird thing.
No shit.
This is weird thing right now.
By the way, everything I say, it's not because I'm dumb. It's other people are stupid. I'm just no shit.
It's just an observation. You're just shining a light on, right?
So it's not even an observation. It's the truth.
Okay,
it's just what is.
It's a fact. You are just stating a fact.
Kid will drink when they're thirsty.
Listen, I had this exact experience yesterday. I was having an argument or discussion with somebody about 50 Shades of Grey. And I go, well, this Christian Grey guy, trauma survivor, sexually abused, in business with the perpetrator of his sexual abuse.
Sexy.
Narcissistic, exploitative, enslaving.
Yes.
And they go, well, that's your opinion. I go, no, that's the fact. I'm just describing the fact. Oh, it's your opinion, though. No.
Yeah, but
how come people can't tell the difference between opinion and fact anymore?
Well,
it's weird.
We've completely lost it. And now we've completely lost it. And then we come around to these revelations that are it's sort of like at some point we're going to reinvent the wheel and fire. It's like that because people send me tweets all the time. Turns out shaming works. You know, it's like, yeah, shaming works. Yes, when your neighbor, you know, when your front lawn is dead and all the other houses in the neighborhood look great, and the other neighbors come by and go, hey, man, your place looks like shit, and it's bringing down our value. Yeah, it works. It works.
To shame them, yeah.
Yeah, all this stuff works. It's just this notion of, you know, what's better, dad and a mom or two dads and two moms or whatever it is. This is all just new shit. I never bought into any of the new shit. I'm still not buying into any of the new shit. The kids will drink when they're thirsty. Now, provided there's a source of liquid, and provided they don't have some sort of disorder that prevents them, you know, there's a tumor in their head that does not let them rehydrate.
Right, they have a salt wasting, you know, nephropathy. Yeah, okay.
Those two aside, Sonny can stop running in a circle and take a hit off the Evian bottle when his body asks him to do that.
Speaking of new shit, AVG Cleaner. Ooh. Browsing, calling, unused apps, photos, other junk eats away at your space, slows your phone down, your tablet down. AVG Cleaner now is an easy fix to clean your Android for more space, faster performance, longer battery life, available for free. Again, stuff give this stuff away.
You need this.
It's on Google Play. Just search AVG Cleaner.
My wife brought her phone out after and did the thing where she was like filming and it went dead in like 10 minutes. Oh. And it's like, you got to charge the phone. She's like, it was on it all. It was charged all night.
No.
And then her friend was like, something's running.
Right. That's why
you got too much going on that phone. You got to clean it out.
So with AVG Cleaner, it's a simple screen. It shows you how much space you can get back. It's a breakdown of your battery life, access to your settings to disable anything that is draining your battery, like Lynette's phone. Like that's, was there a phone?
Yep.
Yep. Or just turn on the auto clean. It happens automatically. Download AVG Cleaner right now. It is absolutely free. All you got to do is go to Google Play, search AVG Cleaner. That is AVG Cleaner.
All right. So sorry, Gabe over here. Gabe?
So, what I wanted to say before I got to my question, I won't go on too long, but you guys are great, and I work at home alone. I'm an artist, I'm a comic book artist, so I'm just drawing and coloring and stuff all day, and you know that personal relationship, Adam, that you've talked about that you guys have with your fans, and it means so much to me that you guys do these shows, and your funny shows, too. I listen to the great show with you and Ray, and then your regular show, and this show I really love. Every day I go exercising at noon, because you encourage me about that when you're talking about doing push-ups to get out of, you know, depression and weird stuff like that. And I've lost like 60 pounds in the last 2 years. So
congratulations.
The highlight of my day is going jogging every day at noon and listening to you guys. But what I wanted to ask about was emotional regulation. I hear Dr. Drew mention that a lot.
Constantly.
That, you know, if childhood trauma, you know, it does this and does that to you, and then you won't be able to regulate your arousal and this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've heard other psychologists talk about emotional regulation. What does it mean in practice
to
regulate yourself?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Gabe, listen, on the Dr. Drew podcast, Gary, I need you to look up Alan Shore, Stephen Porges, and Sue Johnson. And there's two Porges podcasts. I'm going to give you four podcasts I would like you to listen to, and it's not to promote my own shit. It's just because the answers are in these podcasts for what you're looking for. These people are the people that
I'll give the numbers.
Okay.
Go ahead.
These are the people that sort of developed the theories and the biology and the deeper understanding. That's why psychologists talk about emotional regulation, because we see that now as the primary, let's say, function of the self and the primary challenge of a healthy emotional landscape. And it only happens in an interpersonal experience. We build emotional regulation with two skulls, two brains, and it happens throughout life. It starts early in childhood. There are obviously some developmental windows when it happens more readily. But it's a very distinct biological trajectory, and it is important. You know, another one, the podcast I did that's up right now even, didn't we talk about it with the guy that had the cancers and everything?
Glenn Rockowitz?
Didn't we get into that with him too?
A little bit.
A little bit, yes. Well, anyway, the four.
All right, 60, episode number.
It's Dr. Drew podcast.
Yes, mm-hmm. Episode number 63, 65, 90. And sorry to go back, Sue Johnson is 15. So those are all the numbers to look at.
And Adam's in one of those, one of those Porges ones. I think you're in one of those. Remember he analyzed your parasympathetic nervous system?
Vaguely.
Well, interesting, it was about the vagal nerve that we talked about, if you remember.
I'm in number 90, evidently. I don't have a strong rearview mirror.
I know, me neither.
I do remember lots of stories and jokes and things like that from the past. That's because I've told them a million times. But in terms of like, remember that guy or meeting this guy, it's always, for me, it's always what's next.
Well, I always worry that it's like my memory is fucked up because like, Jesus, I have to really jar myself to the context.
Yeah, well, there's some of that, but I think I would argue for you and then I would go ahead and put myself on your shark as a pilot fish and take care of myself, own emotional needs. This way as well.
Profound, dude.
I tell people, but you tell me what you
think. Am I the pilot fish or are you the pilot fish?
No, you're the shark.
Okay, got it.
I'm the pilot fish.
Okay, got it.
Not in life, obviously. But you tell me what you think about this.
Dig.
I've always said two things. Don't be in save a nickel mode, be in make a dollar mode.
Mm.
And it's difficult to be in both modes. I have found. I've seen my parents always in save a nickel mode.
Mm-hmm.
Squirrel it away. Yeah. You know how much that costs. My thing is like, people say to me, you know how much that costs? And I go, no, but I bet it's expensive and that's why I'm going to work this weekend. You know, mm-hmm. I'm in sort of, I don't, I know there's a meter running in my cab of life that's almost moving so fast that you can't read the numbers.
It's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon with the spinning odometer.
Yeah, it's like that one of those big billboards in Times Square that says national debt or number of Indonesians killed by cigarettes, you know. And it's like
secondhand smoke.
Yeah, you know, and all I know is that's going on while I'm asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to get the fuck out and go to New York and Washington, D.C. and San Francisco and blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I said, don't save it. Make it. I mean, don't be stupid about it. Be in make it mode. The other mode I've talked about with people is don't be creatively, don't be in squirrel it away mode. Be as you used to come in and fuck with the writers of the Man Show, I would always say, don't be a comedy warehouse, be a comedy factory. Don't save. A lot of people are very much in catalog all the jokes, save all the jokes, repeat all. But don't get so much into saving that you're not into creating.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
profound.
Yeah, yeah. Amazon is looking to do the pilot for Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
What?
Sid and Marty Krofft. There's a good example of we're in warming over shit from the 70s mode versus create something palatable. Although my guess is they're incapable of creating something that's palatable in 2015. But they're in warm over shit mode, not do something new mode. Yeah. Thus, they're stuck in that world. Now, when it comes to life, I suspect our memory is not great about the past because the lion's share of our brain is looking down the road trying to figure out what's going on versus sort of going through the scrapbook of life going, oh, remember that?
Yeah,
that was a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some of it.
Yeah.
The wiring is forward, not reverse.
Yeah, and indeed, you know, memory requires some rehearsal.
Right.
And if you're not sort of looking back and thinking about things, you're more apt to forget or not remember, you know, people and places. How about line 4?
I'm going to line 1.
All right.
Russ?
Yep.
What's
Get
going
on?
39, Pennsylvania. What's happening?
Well, I got a concussion back in November. And
from what? What happened?
I fell in the racquetball court playing racquetball.
Jesus.
And hit my head on the back wall as I fell backwards, losing my balance.
It's called a first world problem.
I guess so. Playing squash.
Yep.
So I was having some neurological post-concussion syndrome type issues, and a neurologist recommended that I have an MRI of my brain. And there was an incidental finding of an 8-millimeter clival lesion on my skull base.
Clival.
And so I've been shifted from neurology to my family doctor to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. And
8-millimeter
no one's really giving me answers.
Is a little bigger than a quarter inch. So it's kind of like about the size of the smallest grape. It's bigger than like a ball bearing, like a bead, like a pearl, but it's not as big as a grape. We need an in-between fruit. We don't have anything small enough for that. Maybe it's the size of if you had a really nice-looking pomegranate, and it was big, and you pulled a big seed out of the middle of it. That's about the size of 8 millimeters.
Wow. So they can't figure out what it is. Is that right?
No one's really given me like a solid direction. Every doctor just keeps pushing me, here and there. And then I've also been told, well, you could see a neurosurgeon here locally in central Pennsylvania, but I can tell you right now they're not going to be able to do anything with it because, they don't do skull-based surgery here.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Drew? Drew's reading his phone,
am reading the phone because this is a rare thing.
You're looking something up?
Yeah, I'm looking this up. Let me read you. I don't want to scare you, but let me read you. This is planning and execution of clival tumor removal can be among the most complex and difficult procedures in skull-based surgery.
I've read that, yeah.
Yeah. And my question is, why don't they just do serial MRs, or CTs? Why don't they just watch it? And if they do anything, why not just a proton? Why not just radiation or something if they're going to try to control it? If it's that big a surgery, Jesus.
Right.
Are they discussing it in that way?
Not particularly, no. I mean, everyone just says, you know, I can't tell you what it is exactly, but maybe this person can.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to jump in because I'm
You're
not an expert.
You're a genius.
But I am a genius, and Drew's not an expert in this field. Brian, Bald Brian.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
I know it's a different thing, but he has the rock star of the brain and the neurosurgeons and whatever, and or he's certainly been around this block a bunch of times and seen a bunch of these guys.
It's a little this is a bony tumor. It's a little different than a neurological thing.
Yeah,
it's,
but
weird.
I still think that if you reached out to Bald Brian, A, he would answer you, and B, would point you in a direction or give you a name or two, because I've talked to him about it. I also read his book.
Yeah.
When I say read his book, I mean had it read to me through my phone. I got your book now, Drew.
Yeah. You do?
Audiobook.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Thank you. I can't. I'm not going to sit down and read it, but I am going to listen to it.
I appreciate that.
But either way, I think I just have a feeling – through all that I've learned through what he went through.
He had a great team.
He could help, and he had some trial and some error as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he could be more helpful than us at this point.
Yeah, this is a rare, rare tumor, and they're usually slow growing, and they usually can be watched, but not without risk. That's why they're all kind of wringing their hands. I bet you – can I ask him one more question?
Yes.
Are you still there, Russ?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is there some – usually for these kinds of weird tumors, there's somebody somewhere that takes a special interest in it and is sort of the national expert in this thing. Is there such a person out there?
Or sadly, in this case, that person is Steve-O.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems random and weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, but it's just not going to be a help. But he's very interested.
Based on some of my research that I've done, it seems that maybe at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Maryland, kind of has a skull base, you know, team that
so there you
that
go
may be able to help.
Yeah, I mean that's where you need to go. You need to do that because this is rare, and there's a judgment call that's necessary right now. You know, once again, physicians, what you want from them is to make the right call, to make the right judgment, and the basic call at this point is. Is surgery worth the risk, or is it worth the risk, because there's some risk, in just waiting and watching? And let's say over 5 years, this thing never fucking changes. Well, much better that you wait and watch.
I have a more pressing question.
All right.
Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
Why the Johns?
I don't know.
Why not John?
I don't know. Probably maybe.
It's two dudes, but
yeah.
Tommy John's last name is John, not Johns. Like there's a couple of last names, like Dr. John. There's a couple of last names that are just John, but they're still not Johns.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a handful full of John.
It was just one guy. That was his name.
His first name was just Johns Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, interesting. So good job.
His fucking first name was just Johns.
Correct.
J-O-H-N-S?
Correct.
Who was he? I don't know who he was.
Huh.
He was an American entrepreneur, abolitionist, and philanthropist in the 19th century in Baltimore.
So this is a popular name of the 19th century.
I guess.
Numerous institutions were founded bearing his name, and he was a philanthropist.
I bet you today Huffington Post would be calling him a dick. Just a one percenter. He'd probably be like Republican. He probably would have given some money to Mitt Romney or something in between building hospitals.
Yeah.
And they probably would have just been on somebody's – would have been on everyone's shit list, right?
Well, that's that kind of thing is what I want to talk to you on the next podcast. So let's sign out on this one, and next couple days we'll talk about this other topic.
Wow. I don't want to go before I talk about Dollar Shave Club, man.
Oh, yeah.
Love these guys.
You know what I love is standing in the aisle at the pharmacy waiting, pushing that big red button, waiting for somebody to come over and open the plexiglass for me so I can get a goddamn razor out, and then getting tased by somebody who once in a while I want the razor. It's so ridiculous.
I must tell you, in this city at least, you know, when you're calling from your quaint little town, you may not know this, but in Los Angeles, you can't get the cartridges for the razors because they're stolen by junkies.
Right.
And so they're hidden. Again, we should have stopped and tried to turn the ship around when we started locking up the spray paint and the shark cage.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been one of those indicators.
A tell.
That maybe the city was not on the right course. But now we're locking up anything that anyone can walk away with. And it's just a way. Look, you know me. I've said a million times. If there was a service that would fill up my gas tank once a week while I was asleep and I never had to go to another gas station and the gas was cheaper than the current, what it was a gallon currently, would you not sign up for that service? Because that's basically what this is. This is something you're going to do for the rest of your life. And you think to yourself, okay, but what's it cost? What's the VIC? You know, if someone said, I'm going to fill up your gas tank, it'd be, okay, but it's $8.99 a gallon. And you go, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be like if gas was $1.59 a gallon and they filled it up in your sleep once a week. You're like,
yeah.
This is cheaper than what it costs to go stand wait
it's
by the cage.
It's an efficiency, yeah.
Dollar Shave Club, dollarshaveclub.com/Drew. You can go there. You can save some money. We do it. Let's do it. And look, if you're a lady and you want to do it for your man, or your man do it for the lady, whatever, do it for your dad, do it for your friend.
Yeah,
dollarshaveclub.com/Drew. All righty then. Me all over the place with Road Hearts. You can go to AdamCarolla.com, check out that, and Corolla Drinks, and get a little mangria and watch the Road Hard trailer. It's up on YouTube as we speak. Go to AdamCarolla.com and check it out there. Whatever, the poster's up there. It's all good.
Also, if you like that Terry Crews clip, you can get the whole episode a la carte on iTunes.
That is a very good point. And subscribe to Take a Knee. Really proud of that. Really having a good time inspiring people. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew and Chris Max Patton, Gary Heftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.